The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Now, as it happens, my next guest moved from Monkstown to work in Beirut for 6 months. That was 13 years ago, and she is still there. As the Israeli invasion of Lebanon continues to expand into all parts of that country, she is doing something remarkable to ensure that its people and its businesses survive the war somewhat intact. Kira Noon, you're very welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pat.
How is Beirut this morning? Has it been a quiet night?
It wasn't a quiet night last night. We had a few sonic booms last night, so Israeli planes broke the sound barrier, which makes you feel like your building is getting bombed. So it's a little bit disheartening or stressful. I'm not sure, but...
Now, is it possible to know which parts of the city are safe for people like you?
Yes. So I live in an area called Ashrafiya, and traditionally this area has not been targeted. We're luckier than other areas. But in this war, some of the areas have encroached on what were considered safer areas. And, you know, ahead of Israeli bombs, they will send some notice to occasionally evacuation notices. So you'll kind of know which area is going to be targeted. However, this can happen at 4 o'clock in the morning and people have 1 hour to evacuate, or it can happen across an area of 300,000 people, and people have 1 hour to evacuate. So, you know, but it doesn't always help.
And do you know where you'll go when these warnings sound? I mean, do you know if I go to A, B, or C, I will definitely be safe? Or do you have to traverse areas that might be dangerous even to get to safety?
Personally, I'm very lucky. I live in, I've been staying up with my parents-in-law in an area that is safe. Unfortunately, as you know, Lebanon is—it's a rich country with many different cultures, and this war has primarily targeted the Shia. So the areas which the Shia live in are not safe. And we've seen across South Lebanon, which the Irish people know very well, and have had a long history of support with. We've seen South Lebanon, the southern suburbs of Beirut and Bekaa. We've seen over 1.3 million people have been forced to leave their homes, often at really short notice from those areas, and they come into areas that are safer. So other communities will host them. So the Sunni or the Christians or the Druze, and they're staying, you know, people are staying in schools that have been set up by the government or public buildings. Sometimes they're not lucky. They're staying in their cars or on the street, or sometimes people are opening up their homes and hosting them. So I don't know if you can imagine 1.3 million people, which is, you know, a quarter of the population of Lebanon, having been moved in the last 3 weeks across the country. So to answer your question, I'm personally very lucky to be in an area that's safe, but millions of people aren't.
Now, you went to Beirut 13 years ago for 6 months. You're still there.
Yes, I'm still here. Yes. I told my family I was going for 6 months to work with the Syrian response. And indeed, 13 years later, I'm still here. It's an incredible country. It's magic and very hard to leave. I'm now also married and having a baby next month. So it's very much home. But yeah, and I work with a great group of people, and the spirit of the Lebanese is, yeah, it's very hard. My family in Ireland would know it very well. They come to visit.
Now, you're involved in quite a unique initiative, bearing in mind all the people who are displaced, who have no place to cook food, maybe no money to buy food even. And you're involved with the business community and the state in getting money from whoever and then spending it in restaurants who have kitchens that might be empty at the moment because there's no business, and using those business kitchens, those catering kitchens, to feed the people who are now destitute.
Yes, indeed. We started this initiative 3 weeks ago now. So it started very simply. I work in the Beirut Digital District, which is a great community of all of the startups across in Lebanon. And when the Beirut Digital District was cleared, in fact, we had a bomb that took down an apartment building right beside the digital district. So people have been working all over the country from home, mostly. when that happened, we have a great restaurant in the Digital District that wasn't able to continue working and they were at risk of closing. So I got a call from our founder one morning and she said, look, we're going to support this restaurant by each of us as employees. We'll cover one meal per day for the restaurant and we'll provide it to people who are displaced. So we kick-started this project with the restaurant. It was essentially a lifeline for them. And then once we started, we realized, wait, there's many other restaurants who are in this position. There's many people who need food. So we got in touch with the Ministry of Tourism. And I think anyone who's visited Lebanon would know that hospitality is in the DNA of the Lebanese. Their food's brilliant. Their hospitality is lively. But this industry is 20% of the GDP. So when a war like this happens, it's a huge economic shock. So the Ministry of Tourism got on board from the start, and we developed a platform in less than a week. Our team works pro bono. We work in technology. So we set this platform up, and as you said, it connects donors who want to fund with restaurants who have trained staff, kitchens that they can support but are struggling now because of the economic reality of Lebanon right now. And then we can take those directly to, in coordination with the government central crisis management system, we take it to those in need. So yeah, it's been an incredible response in 2 weeks. We're kind of blown away by the support that everyone's giving to it.
It's incredible that you've been able to do this, to coordinate everything. Maybe your digital experience is a help. I've heard something about vibe coding. What in God's name is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I've learned a lot in this. Actually, you know, our founder got right into the mix of this project. So what it is in the last 6 months, AI has, I think we all know AI has kind of changed the way that everyone's working. But now what you can do essentially is you can talk to a system. We've been using one called Lovable, where you speak directly in normal language, and then it creates kind of your platform for you. It's very quick and easy, and it allowed us to develop and constantly coordinate with the Ministry of Tourism, who was behind the design of the platform with us, to coordinate with the restaurants who are key, and to talk to all different types of users and constantly change it on the go. Now, we're a company of 500, you know, experts who were thrown in, like their expertise were thrown into this. So, of course, we have our security checks and everything. But working in this way, which I know the Irish tech community is very strong, and so they would know, it's just a game changer, especially for times of crisis, to be able to pull this together.
It's extraordinary to do it in such a short time, and it's functioning. Any idea how many restaurants are now involved and how many families have been fed?
Yes, of course. So we've delivered over 17,000 meals in the last 10 days. We have 12 restaurants cooking as of today across the country, especially in Saida. I think the Irish listeners would know Saida. And we are also, we've got a huge number of restaurants who are waiting to come in and start cooking as we're growing. The Ministry of Tourism plays the role of approving those restaurants. It's, you know, it's a state-led initiative also, so we have to ensure quality. But we're getting massive response from restaurants across the country who are ready, and people calling in different municipalities across the country with needs. So yeah, it's moving fast, Pat.
And then those meals will be delivered by NGOs, so they are going to places where we know the need is real, and it's certified by the NGOs that these are families who desperately need food.
Exactly. And what's been amazing in this is that you have chefs working with people who are displaced. Now, people who are displaced could be anyone. You know, you're a doctors or nurses. Even one of the restaurants that we're working with, their floor manager was about to propose and his apartment was blown up by an Israeli bomb. And that's a big deal here, you know, like what, obviously for anyone, but you're in the process of setting up a family. And he's the one who's going and delivering to the shelter. So there's the real human side of it. And what's nice is the chefs themselves are talking to the people across the country. Food is such, in the shelters, food is such an important part of Lebanese culture. So in this program, you have this guarantee that the quality is going to be great, that, you know, the food is designed, the menu is designed with the people in the shelter. It's very like solidarity, essentially, Lebanese to Lebanese. And this is the really important part of this program. Solidarity right now is very important in Lebanon.
Now, it does seem as if Lebanon is dragged into these conflicts on a regular basis. Do the Lebanese people not get dispirited at all, that they can't seem to forge their own way in the Middle East without being interfered with all the time?
Of course. You know, you have people who are just trying to live their lives. And you have businesses that are trying to operate, children who are just trying to go to school. My niece and nephew are now, you know, having to go on a day on, a day off because of the concerns. So, of course, and, you know, I reflected on this last night when I was hearing the sonic booms. I get worried because I'm pregnant, and you worry about the psychological terror on what it does to your body. And then I thought, you know, there's kids all over the country who are having to deal with this. And it's not fair, is such a understatement, but this is happening to just normal, everyday people all the time. So, yeah, I think the Lebanese are very fed up, very, very fed up that this is what happened just because of where their country is in the world.
Now, back in Ireland, your family, are they saying, Kira, come home?
My family, they're across Glasgow, Bray and Pearstown. You know, they're not. They know I've been here for so long. They've all been out to visit. They understand the nuances of the country. They know I'm safe. They know I wouldn't leave at this time. I was in Ireland in the 2024 war. I'd come across for a wedding, and it was so hard to be outside watching the news. So I'm grateful that I'm here. But no, they're incredibly supportive. And you know, the Irish have had this long history with Lebanon. They understand the country, and I'm so proud to be Irish in the Middle East. There's a real recognition in the Middle East that Irish people understand struggle and stand by those who are going through it. So, no, I feel very well supported and trusted in my decision to stay.
Well, if any of our listeners want to help feed some of those who are going hungry in Lebanon at the moment, they can donate at Sofraleb, Sofraleb, all one word, .com. And Kira, well done on the initiative, and stay safe. And thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you all.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.